Thank you so much. Okay, I'm so excited to do this today. This is something that we do more and more here at the center, and it's,
I can grab it from you. We'll put it right over here. You got it?
We're doing hearing God's word through art, prayer through art, with our kids a lot. And it's so easy, and it's so fun, and it's such a simple way to help kids get still and help their minds get still and their hands get busy, and it's so easy for them to hear from God and have a prayer. And I want to, you're almost always, when I talk about hearing from God, going to hear me, or if I talk about prayer, it's going to be hearing from God, and if it's hearing from God, it's going to be prayer, because you cannot separate the two. If you think, I'm allowed to pray, but I don't know if I hear God's voice, then there's a void. It doesn't even make sense. I can't be in a prayerful conversation apart from hearing God's voice. And I say that not to be harsh. I say that because we need to wake up to that. Because I often don't even use the word prophetic because it's such a trigger for people. People go, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if God still speaks today. It's like, well, do you ever think that he's spoken to your heart to draw you to him? Absolutely, he still speaks today. So we're not talking about crazy prophetic in the sense of whatever that may mean. If it's a crazy word for you, just put it on the side. Because I am going to use the word today. Usually I just use the word encouragement or hearing from God. But the Bible uses the word prophetic. And it says of all the gifts that you should eagerly desire the prophetic gifting. Why? Because I don't know how you live following Jesus apart from hearing his voice. You know, if I'm going to be in a relationship with Ashley, and I'm not sure that she actually wants to talk to me or that I can actually hear her, there is not a relationship. Or there's a very dysfunctional one. And the truth is, Ashley has a heart of gold towards me. She wants to talk to me. She loves to speak to me. And if I really think that she's not going to speak to me, or that I have to be in the right posture for her to speak to me, then maybe I don't know actually as well as I thought that I did. And so today I just want to make this, one, a really safe place for you to explore hearing from God. And just like we do with kids, you're going to have paper in front of you, and you're going to get to get your hand busy. This is not about art. This is not at all about. So if you've already thought, like, oh gosh, I can't draw a stick figure, all my things look bad, I was terrible in art class, I am not creative. We all have those thoughts. I think even the most creative of us have had those thoughts. So those two, we already put the like ugly prophetic stuff over here. We're going to put the I'm not good at art thoughts over there and tell them to take a break in the corner. Because this is a safe spot actually for you to just engage the Lord. And he is the one that wants to talk to you more than you want to hear from him. I promise. A lot of times in the prayer house, we have people come in and they don't know why they're coming to get prayer. They just know they need prayer. Well, usually they're walking through a hard time. But often they go, you know, I'm not good at this. I don't know, you know, there's a little fear growing. You're going to be the one person that this doesn't work for. You're going to be the one person that doesn't hear God's voice. And I will tell you that after praying with a lot of people, I've never seen anyone that it doesn't work for, and I've never seen anyone that doesn't hear God's voice. We were made to hear him now. If, you know, does the pot say to the potter, I'm not a pot? No. Does you know, the child, the loved child say, I'm not allowed to talk to my loving mom and dad? No. That child knows that they were made to be in a communicative relationship. That's not just about voice. It's about hugs. And it's about, I'm scared, I need to tell you everything I think. Or I need to sleep with you in the middle of the night. Or I'm thinking about the future. This is what's in my heart. What do you think? What's your experience? You know, the kingdom of heaven is absolutely one of family. The language of heaven is one of family. So it's okay to use the metaphor of a good father and a good mother for understanding how we are to relate to God himself. Good brother and sister. Often the way that you experience Jesus will be affected by the way you experience your friends and your brothers and sisters. The way that you experience God the Father is affected by the way you experienced your own father, for good and for bad. And the way you experience the Holy Spirit is affected by the way you experience your mom. So that's just a brief little intro to more just give you freedom to know that this isn't an art class, but that would be really hard to do in art class combined with listening to the voice of God. But that's for another time. This is much more about helping you take the next step forward wherever you are today into just a little bit more intimacy with God, which all of us, there's more for each and every one of us. So I'm asking the Lord today to give me more, and I'm asking him to give you more, and I'm asking him to speak to you in any place where you might have like a thought that needs to just be changed. You know, I'm not this, or well, I this, well, that. Just any caveat or any way that you are speaking, you know, thinking a thought that's negative towards yourself that you would never think towards your own child. And I just want the Holy Spirit to come and just highlight for you what he does think about you. Any voice that says I'm not enough, or I can't, or I don't really hear from God, or I'm not connected to him, or there's distance between us, those are legitimate thoughts, but Lord, will you help them recognize that those feelings are not necessarily what is true? Will you remind us of the gospel? The gospel says nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. The gospel is that you, Jesus, became the Word made flesh. You were the Word in the beginning with God creating us. So we are literally your little words walking around, and then Jesus is the Word. And our relationship with him must involve hearing his words. And if we're here, we've heard him. So God, encourage us and come and speak whatever you want to speak to us. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can't be here if you haven't heard God's voice. So that little lie of I don't know if I hear God's voice is already over there. Whenever God gathers a body together to worship him, he invited you. That's just a truth that you can find throughout Scripture. This was not your idea. So your only job here is to be really open to what he's doing. You don't have to do it. You just get to be open to what he's doing, and you get to respond to him. So today is a response. Your papers are a response. And will you guys go ahead and pass out? We don't have enough of these for everybody to have one, so you're going to need to share with like three people around you. And then if anybody is on the floor or wants to come up here, there's some spots here, and there's some big old things. These are my favorite things to use when you don't want to make a mess. These are oil pastels, and if we pass paint out to y'all, it would be really messy. These are like crayons on steroids. They make like sharper things. Can y'all see this?
Yeah. You good?
Everybody have some access to something to grab. Even if you have to reach over each other, feel free. Okay, if you don't have access to grab some sort of colors, just twinkle your fingers at me. Every time I call my dad, he always says, "Your mom is wiggling her fingers at you." Okay, everybody good? Okay, so you have two sheets of paper. One set aside for later. One keep set aside and the other one we are going to hold. Okay, so your second sheet of paper is right here in front of you. I want you to fold it in half, so you're going to fold it like that, so it makes two sides. So, in half. And if you do it wrong, it doesn't matter. This is not about getting it right.
Okay? And then you're going to fold it in half again. We're going to make it really tiny. So you just folded it in half twice. There's four pieces now, right? And now you're going to fold it in half again. Three folds in half. This is the most folding you will do. That's the hardest part. The rest of it is easy. So you should have eight little boxes here. Okay, great. So I don't really care your order of these boxes. I'm going to go like this, just so hopefully it's helpful to you. Like, I'm going to use the top to teach a little bit and talk about hearing God's voice. And we're going to do some pictures just to help you when you look back to remember. And then we're going to use the bottom to practice, and then we're going to use the other sheet later, okay? So, that got folded like that, right? Okay, somehow you have a lot of little boxes. You'll be good. Okay, I'm going to just, in the first box, this is going to be totally easy. I'm giving you parameters. You are only allowed to use one color. I felt like a little fish was pinching my toes. Only one color. And what we're going to do is we're just going to ask Jesus to bring to your mind a color. But it's going to represent something, okay? So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask Jesus a question for you. He's going to speak to you in your thoughts. It's going to sound just like your thoughts. Think a thought. Okay, that's what Jesus' voice is probably going to sound like to you. Most of us don't hear the audible voice of God all the time. I've never heard that. And some people have, and I think that's amazing. I'd like to. Today would be great. But normally it sounds like my thoughts. So, Jesus, will you bring to mind a color that reminds us of your love? And whatever popped in your head, don't argue with it, just go with it. It might surprise you, or it might not. We're going to start over here. Well, sorry. Yeah, you better go back this way. Okay, start here. And you just put it down however you want. Sorry, my color isn't showing up, though. This is not supposed to be red. It's supposed to be pink. And you can put it, if there's a picture in your head or there's a heart or something, feel free to put it however you want. I'm just scribbling. Okay, next question. We're going to put it in this little box. Jesus, will you bring to mind a color that represents peace? Okay, I'm going to uninhibit you now. You can use more than one color if you want, or you can just use one color. It could be as easy as this. Every one of your boxes can look like this. Totally fine. Jesus, will you bring to mind for each one of us here a picture that represents a hard season we've walked through? Whatever comes to your mind, in whatever way you want to represent it, just put it here somehow. And as much as you may want to make this a masterpiece, I'm going to push you through it because we're going to do quite a few more. So you have about 10 more seconds to finish that one. Okay, Jesus, will you bring, this has been the last one. Will you bring to mind a picture that represents the gold and the good that you brought out of this hard season? Isaiah calls it the treasures of darkness. Okay, this is the last one that I'm going to lead you through kind of like this. I was going to talk about it first rather than do it, but I think I'm going to, obviously I started doing it, and then I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to use these last three squares to talk about it. This square right here, put a little hold on, and I just want you to close your eyes, and then we're going to go on a little journey with the Lord. And I just want you to become aware of anything that you feel right now in your life is feeling heavy. Or just feeling hard, or something that's just a little bit of a burden, concern, anxiety, problems, big problems, little problems, whatever. And Jesus, will you put your finger on the ones that you want to just bring your ease to? And then I want you just to picture some sort of container. It can be anything. And I want you to just picture yourself putting those concerns, those burdens into that container. Just offload them. And if it's a feeling of anxiety or a feeling of weight or heaviness, just let that come off your shoulders and put it in that container. And then when you're ready, I want you to hand it in your mind. You're praying through this platform of your mind, which we have this brilliant imagination that Jesus gave to us to use to communicate. We use it all the time. That's what you're doing now with him in prayer. So I want you to picture in your mind giving that container to Jesus. And if you then can just step back from it. And if you have a hard time letting go of it, ask him to help you. And then I want you to watch what he's going to do with it. And when you're ready, I want you to watch what he's going to give you back. Put back in your hands, because he really is good at taking our burdens and giving us back things that don't weigh us down. He says to cast all of our anxiety upon him because he cares. And that's what you're doing through this prayer right now. And then when you're ready, draw in that first square on the bottom row something that represents what you just did in prayer. It could be the container. It could be what Jesus did with it. It could be what he gave you back.
And if you happen to feel like you got stuck in any part of that, trust that. Because if you were like at a place where you're like, okay, I'm putting all this stuff and I have more to put in that container in case you just blew by it, stay there in your conversation with the Lord and keep having that conversation. And afterwards too, there's going to be plenty of people here that if you want help praying through that, we can do it together. So don't worry. Okay, so you've just been practicing a little bit with using this incredible mind that God gave you to have a two-way conversation with Jesus. We're asking him questions, he's answering you. And he's answering fast because that's how he is. He's really faithful and he comes fast. We're the ones that maybe need to learn how to receive it and go, oh, he is here. The gospel says that nothing can separate you. You have full access. The veil has been torn. There's absolutely nothing between you and God. So the reality of your life is that you live from a place of two-way communication, whether you're aware of it or not. We crazily live most of our lives as if that's not real. I mean, it really would be like me and Carrie driving in a car together and me acting like she's not in the driver's seat next to me. And she's like talking to me and I'm like, she's like, Casey, I love you. And I'm like, God, I just wish Carrie would talk to me. And then she's like, Casey, I've been thinking about some things. And I wanted to talk to you about, you know, your family. Like, your family is beautiful and you don't have to be worried about them. God, I'm just worried about my family, but you know, I feel a little peace right now. Like, we really do experience God a lot, probably, but we don't even realize it's him absolutely right there dialoguing with us. And then other times we really think he's not, and he's right there going, I love you. But the thing that trumps my ability to hear him is my choice to stay in whatever pattern I'm in. If I feel unloved, it doesn't matter how much love is coming my way unless I'm willing to let him change the way that I think. So in prayer, we're going, I'm willing to realize that you're here. I'm willing to turn. That's what worship is. I'm turning and valuing the fact that you really are here. So I don't care if you're singing or I don't care if you're driving or if you're cooking or cleaning or doing your work. When you turn your attention to Jesus, you just put your worth and your value into something beyond your own isolated self. That's worship. And we want to live from it for every bit of our lives. So we want to practice. And when August gets up here and Carolyn gets up here, we have this amazing space created where we get to practice turning. He's here. Giving him value. You're God. And you're here. And then it's easier for us to hear from him, right? Because we're not going like this anymore. Like, I'm all alone in my life. Wish he was here, wish he was closer, wish he was close. I mean, that's crazy, Bill, but I do it all the time. I'm telling you, I do not live from this place all the time. But I'm learning to practice more. You're here. You're talking to me. So that's all we're doing right now. And I'm making you do it kind of fast so that you don't have time to think about why it's not going to work or why you can't hear from God. Does that make sense? And I hope that helps you because it's as easy as that. Just put those thoughts aside and talk to him. Okay, now in these three boxes, I want to talk about what do we do? Because it's a serious thing to say that we're talking to God, right? We're not taking that lightly. But it is something we have full access to. So because we don't want to, we may have like a holy reverence that keeps us away from that, going, well, I mean, I don't agree with this, but who am I to talk to God? And I don't want to be that person going, God said this, you know, real heavy-handedly. So we want to have those healthy parameters for what does the voice of God sound like? What does it feel like? What does it look like? And how do we check it? Because I may think God's saying something to me that he's not saying to me. Or I may think that he's not talking to me and he is talking to me. So I just want to move more towards the direction of health. And so these are the simple parameters that we put around it, especially here at Christ Healing Center. We do this in our practical prayer class every time. is healthy parameters for hearing God's voice for yourself. I don't care if you're going to try to hear God's voice for other people. I hope you do. But you need to start with yourself. And you probably already have. I mean, I imagine most of you do try to hear God's voice for yourself. So when you ask a question, and
of Jesus, or when you start to turn and talk to him, whatever you get back, whatever you think that he's saying back, or that you sense, or that you feel, or that you just have, you know, I don't want to make it all like auditory, you know, he talks to us all in such different ways. It may be that I'm outside and I see the most gorgeous sunset and I'm overwhelmed with his presence. And I have a sense that everything's going to be okay. Even though everything in my life says it's not going to be okay, I feel okay. I would think that's him. That feeling of peace, that feeling of comfort. So he speaks through feelings and overwhelming what we were feeling that wasn't him, you know? Or he speaks through an impression. I just kind of have this impression. Or through words, or through thoughts, or through pictures. And we've already practiced the picture a little bit, but I just want to help you practice again. I want you to picture your home. What are you picturing? You're picturing the outside, the inside, a room, a certain sofa, the front door. It's going to be different. If I had time to ask you all, it'd all be different. What color is it? Who's there? What's happening? Okay, so that's we all do it. We all picture. And when I say God may give you a picture, it's going to come just like that, like the way you think. So that probably happened for you here. And what we're going to use the word for it, just so we can all understand what we're talking about, is revelation. And it's we ask God a question and he answered, and it's what we think that he said, okay? So whether that's a picture, a feeling, an impression, whatever, I want you to just, however you right now generally hear from God, however you got this, 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 and this, and this, I want you to put something that represents that for you. Okay, so if you're much more of a feeling kind of person, it may just be that you color in a color here. Or that you put quotes, because you like think it's like a chain of thoughts that come to you, like sentences, or just words. But I'm going to put at the top of this revelation. It's what you think you got, okay? So if I ask Jesus what he's doing right now in this room, the word that I hear is building hope. So that's what I think I got. I don't for sure know that Jesus said that. But let's try it. Let's just put it down. I often hear in phrases. That's how God speaks to me. And often in pictures too. And I think he wants to speak to us in all kinds of different ways. Okay, so that's what we think we got. What do we do with it? Well, whether we realize we're doing this or not, when we ask the Lord to show us something, and whether we're very comfortable with hearing that through his word, he speaks so often through his word. You know, a lot of times people only think God speaks through his word, so he's speaking a ton through the word to them. And sometimes we only feel comfortable hearing God's voice through other people. So we may be asking him a question, God, what are you saying about this? And then we really are looking for answers through the conversations that we have. And again, I think he just wants to talk to us, so he's going to do all those things. But whatever we think he's saying to us, then we want to ask just a few questions. And I think they involve looking at the other ways that he speaks. So he speaks through a picture in our mind. He speaks fast. He speaks through words. He speaks through impressions, feelings, other people, his word, circumstances. But those things should line up, and they should never be outside of, for me, the picture is always this, the loving heart of Jesus. So if it lands inside here, okay, building hope, I think that is something that Jesus does. It lands in here, okay, great. That's my first check. Does this land inside the loving heart of Jesus? If it said tearing down hope, I might go, that doesn't sound like Jesus. And I might just pass on it. No, I don't think that was his voice. No big deal. But I'm certainly not going to go up to Carrie and go, I feel like God's telling me that he's tearing down hope right now. That would sound a little crazy, and Carrie would know. And even if I did it, I'm in a good relationship with her, and she could go, Casey, that just doesn't sound like him to me. And I would be so glad, because you know what? We both want to hear his voice, and we want to help each other out. So I would want her to say, Case, ask again. And let's look in scripture.
So that's this loving heart of Jesus. And then if I were gonna like put another image on this, it would literally be Jesus himself. He is the full revelation of the Father's heart. So Jesus, as we know him in Scripture, what does Scripture say about him? What did he do? How did he act? What was he about? And then, does it make sense within the overarching story of the Bible? So I don't mean one story pulled out of context. I mean the overarching story of the Bible, which is about redemption, beauty from ashes, making all things new. The story of Revelation is that the earth looks like the heavens because the people of God have started to live as Jesus lived. And so creation continues to happen. Creation's redeemed and restored because Jesus purchased it all. There's nothing left to do except to let Jesus' life flow through you, which will bring creative things into being. This is like what we're doing right now is a picture of the story of God throughout the history of mankind. That he takes people who think they're not creative, and then he shows them that they actually are called and created by him, and he wants to give them inspiration and bring redemption. So does it fall within his heart? Is it within the context of the story of God? And if we don't know that story, there's so much teaching. Like, so much teaching, so much we can ask friends. But then, okay, so we're checking those things. And if it feels like it's a safe thing and it falls within this area, we can kind of move on. And the next thing would be interpretation. And we do this whether we know it or not. So if we're seeking to hear God's voice about something, and we have a friend who has a conversation with us, and we're like, okay, I really kind of feel like God is nudging me this way, what we start to do is we start to interpret it. I think it means this. And that is always, if you're having a conversation with God, it's always your responsibility to have that conversation. Well, I think he's saying this. What does it mean? Okay? So this is between, the revelation could be between you and him, or it could add in a friend. Like if Carrie came up to me and said, I think I have this phrase running through my head for you. You did this the other day. She called me. This was so cool. I was taking Hudson to school, and I am not good about doing scripture with my kids. I just want to say that because sometimes somebody can get up front and they tell you a story, and you're like, oh, they do this with their kids all the time. No, I don't. I'm just being real honest. But Hudson's gone through a hard season, so I've started doing scriptures with him for us to memorize. And the first one was, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And then the next one was, you are the wraparound God giving grace to me. And it's from Psalms. And we were like saying it in the car on the way to drop him off. And he gets out of the car, and Carrie called me and said, hey, I just feel like God was encouraging or giving me something for Hudson. And basically what she said was that verse encapsulated. He's like, God has surrounded him like in a bubble, and where he carries that wherever he goes, even if he's picking up on this other stuff that feels really hard. The truth is, like, he carries God there, and it's grace. And so it was so cool because I felt like God had picked out that verse. We were just saying it. He gets out of the car. She calls me. And so that's like the Lord just also like saying, yes, this revelation was for me. Yes, this is what I'm saying to him. And so that's encouraging. That's another thing. When people tell you God's talking to them or to you, it should feel encouraging. If you think God is condemning you, it is not consistent with who Jesus is. If you think God is telling you that you deserve punishment, it's the opposite of the gospel. So whatever little part of your heart doesn't feel like you deserve God's grace, that little part of your heart needs to know the gospel, okay? So anyway, then we move to this place of interpretation. We're going, what are you saying? And so on the phone, I sat there and kind of just dialogued with Carrie, like, I think God is really saying this, and it gave me more insight into this original thing that I thought that I got. Okay, so whatever you got, like, let's go back to this picture here, the treasures of darkness. Whatever it is, this is a conversation. Sorry, what I was trying to tell you is revelation can be between you and another person and God.
But the interpretation, you're getting into a realm that's you and God. Somebody else can help you with it, but this is really up to you to ask God about what does this mean. And then this last one is really only you and God and maybe your spouse. And that's application. What do I do with it in my life? So if somebody tells you, and maybe some people have this ability to hear from God, but I don't feel comfortable with it. If somebody came up to me and said, you need to do this in your life, I'm going to go, I don't know about that. I think God would talk to me about that. Does that make sense? So, revelation, interpretation, this is between you and God, and this is where you start to ask the questions. Okay, this is the picture I got. I got a picture of these like building blocks that were made out of gold. And my feeling of this, my understanding is that the Lord was showing me that out of this hard time of isolation, he really built this platform for me to stand on. And I feel like he's showing me that it also really built my intimacy with him. I'm interpreting what this picture is. The picture was simple, but I have a feeling, I have an understanding about it. I have something that I think it means. That's interpretation. This is the thing I think it meant. And then application. We're doing this all the time, whether we realize it or not. So we're always looking for revelation. We're always trying to make meaning. We are meaning-making machines. That's part of being a human. And then we are applying it. And sometimes we're doing this in a really unhealthy way. But the truth is God wants us to be aware that he's speaking to us all the time. He wants us to interpret it, and he wants us to apply it to our lives. So when you feel like God's putting something on your heart and then you make a choice out of that, that's your application. Okay, so I kind of did this for just you, but now I want to go back to say I want to get a picture or ask God to give me a piece of encouragement for Marisa or somebody else. I'm going to ask him, what are you saying to Marisa? And the first phrase that went through my head is a heart full of love. She just has this really pure heart full of love. There's a heart already. Pure heart full of love. So I asked God what he's saying about Marisa. When I move to give her that, basically, as I tell it to her, I'm telling her this simply. I'm not going to try to make it sound like something over spiritual. God says you have a heart full of love and you're going to blah, 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 and you should blah, blah, blah. I just want to say, okay, that when I ask God about you, this is the phrase that I heard. I feel like God said you have a heart, pure heart full of love. And then as I'm explaining to her, I'm doing this thing. My impression is that he wants you really to know how much he trusts you. That's my impression. And then I am leaving this between her and him. So this is between me and him, and I'm sharing it with her. I'm passing it off to her. Ask him what he says about that, what he says. See, you know, pray about it. And if it makes sense to you, awesome. And if it doesn't, heart full of love is not like a scary word to give. But if it's like a weird picture, I might go, if this doesn't make sense to you, just let it go. If it does, talk to him about it. So I'm passing it off to her, and then I don't even touch, so you should. Not my realm. That's between her and him. And it is between her and him. And if she asks me, well, what do you think I should do? I have no idea, but I know that he'll show you. I know that he wants to talk to you about that. So when I'm asking God for a word for somebody else, I'm not trying to become that person that is their connection to God. I think God gives us words for other people to encourage them in their own connection to God. Okay? And that's the cool thing is that he will give them a word that means something to them and means nothing to you, and you may not have any knowledge of it. The very first time I ever did this with pictures, and we're about to practice again, is I was sitting in this room, and it was like, I don't know, like 9 years ago, and somebody was talking about experiencing prophetic words, and I didn't have any experience with it, and I probably was a little afraid of it, and they said, we're going to practice. So Jennifer Shimwell and I sat together, and we both said, we've never done this before, and we don't know how to do this. And she's like, I don't think I got anything, but I've just got to tell, I mean, I got the stupidest thing. It doesn't mean anything. And I was like, just tell me. She said, it's a school bus, a yellow school bus. And I started weeping because I know exactly what it meant. It didn't mean anything to her because it wasn't for her. It meant everything to me. Joel was working at KIPP, and it was a hard season of our life. And
I would go over to the high school after the kids were gone, and the school buses parked in this certain area, and there was this one that was super dilapidated. And I don't know why, but I would always go sit out on the bleachers and look at those school buses, and I would think about painting that school bus yellow and making it like come alive again. And I don't know why, but I was always paying attention to school buses at that season of my life. Like, I would count school buses as they went by. It was just weird. I don't do it now. I was just, at the time, a little bit obsessed with school buses. So to me, that was not weird. But to her, of course it sounded weird. Why are you going to tell somebody yellow school bus? And she didn't even have to do any of this because she didn't know it. So she didn't try to act like she did. And I love that because I didn't need her to. I knew exactly what it meant. And then I talked to the Lord about it more. And still to this day, when people pray for me sometimes, they'll get the word of a school bus. Like, I went out to a place in California, and they do these, like, 10-minute times of encouraging prayer. You just sit in. They don't know you from Adam. You don't say a word. They just pray for you and whatever they feel like God's giving them for you. And one, for, like, 5 minutes, talked about how I'm somebody who goes in and sees school buses and we'll go and paint them, like, green, and then they flourish and come to life. And, again, like, that's... And it's not like I'm really going to get in a school bus realm, but it's a picture for whatever the call of God is on my life. And, of course, it was hugely encouraging to me. Okay, so now we're going to practice. And I want you to get out your... Oh, sorry. I just have words for this. If you all have pictures, you can draw pictures. I was going to have you do that, but we're going to move on. Okay, your next page. I want you to fold it in half and then tear it in half. Just fold it so it's easy to tear. At the fold, yeah. So you're going to fold it in half, and the fold is just to help you tear like this.
Oh, she's just...
Wow.
It's
okay.
Okay, so we're going to practice... And I'm not going to make you ask the Lord to give you a picture, an encouraging word for somebody outside of the room, because I'm not going to push you outside your comfort zone. But the truth is, you can ask him for an encouraging word and then not even say that you did all this stuff. It could just be like if I'm with Marisa and I did feel like the Lord said she has a pure heart, I can just be like, I don't know if anybody tells you this stuff. It's so clear to me that you have this incredibly pure heart. You know, and I'm not saying God told me this and I'm asking for a word. There may be a time where that would be really encouraging to her. But if I don't feel like I have that open door or I'm not comfortable with it myself, I can just encourage her. The prophetic ministry is absolutely the ministry of encouragement. It's another word for prophetic is encouragement. Okay, so we're going to pray for two separate people. You don't know who they are. Don't try to figure out who they are. I'm not asking you to ask God who they are. Don't do it. I know who they are. Got it? Okay, so you don't know who they are, and all you're going to do is ask Jesus to give you one picture of encouragement for them. And that picture may be a word. Some people literally picture words. I picture words all the time. I picture hope. That's the way I saw that earlier. And then the word, the phrase was building hope, and then if I was going to draw it, it would literally be like building blocks underneath the word hope. Does that make sense? Okay, so Jesus... Clear out any voice that's not yours. Settle our own voice, and we want to hear an encouraging word for person number one. So you can just put a one on there if you need to, or just remember. But God, what's an encouraging picture for person number one? Then don't overthink it. Don't talk yourself out of it. Just put it down. Oh, I feel like I teach on this so much. We just added in the pictures today. So next time we're gonna have Carrie teach on it. I was just thinking, you were gonna tell me on you guys. One thing that I didn't get to do for time's sake, but it's so fun to do, especially if you like this, just go online, it's a Blue Letter Bible, you know my favorite thing I encourage you to do, and put in the word here, and see the different words that are used in the Hebrew for the word here. There's like 7 of them, and one of them, the picture is like a little drip that fills a bucket, and then the bucket starts to get full, and I love that picture of God's voice. And then another one is like the audible voice of God. Another one is a corporate voice. It's like a bop, a raging, right, the sound of like the ocean, but it's through people. And then if you study the word Shema, that's such a powerful word in our faith. Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, people of God. Hear what he's saying. I mean, if Jesus prayed that prayer 3 times a day. Shema Israel, and I only hear my God. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And it goes on and on out of Deuteronomy 6. So Jesus himself, 3 times a day, was reminding himself to hear the voice of the Father. So this is such an important piece. Like, this is something we need to practice doing. Okay.
The word Shema,
it can be translated here. There's like a few different iterations of it. Shema, or Shama, Shema, and then there's a few other ones. But one of them, it can be translated hear, perceive. There's one that literally, like, it's defined as create, like make plain. Like, all of a sudden when you look at it, it starts to very much have words that look like doing something, creating something. When you hear, and the word hear is also connected to obey. In scripture, you can't separate the two. So when you hear from God, you move. That's the application piece. If God's speaking to us, it's connected to our movement and how we are in the world. Okay, so now finish up that one. And number 2, you don't know who it is. I do, and God does. That's how this works. Jesus. Can you give us an encouraging picture or word or phrase or whatever feeling from your heart for this next person?
Okay, and go ahead and finish that one up.
Okay, if you are on an end, not you guys. I'm not talking to you end, and I'm not talking to this end. I'm talking to that end and this end. Okay? So drawing number one is for the person on your right. So pick up your right hand and point to the person next to you. Y'all don't have somebody. That's why I'm focusing on you. Look at the people on this end. So Heidi's got Tracy. So just kind of make a connection so that you can find them in a second. Because we're probably going to move around, so I want to make sure that you know. They should line up, actually. Okay. So Lacey has Glenn. Alicia, so you've got her. So we're going all the way across the room. All right, this person on your right.
Who do I go to?
Me.
Am I number one?
One. Okay, listen really nice. Before you give it,
Number two is your own self. So you can check in. You can see if it rings true for you. You can ask the Lord about it. You can flush it if it doesn't make sense. Okay, and really quick, last thing. Before you get these, I want you to take the time. Okay, take the time to explain it. Take the time to explain it, okay? And you can just give, if you need to give a caveat, if I've never done this before, that's totally fine. Probably a lot of this happens. But